Our next speaker is Ivan Panamarayan, presenting automating documentation from DSL to dynamic docs with ASCII Doc and Antora. Please welcome Ivan. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we're entering into fourth hour of this room. Things are getting difficult. Yeah. Thank you for coming. So, yeah, I'm Ivan, and currently I'm working as a team lead at a technical startup called Synthesized in London. We're producing test data automation you can trust, but also I'm teaching computer science and Java at a number of universities. So actually, although I identify myself as a software engineer, I produce more documentation, technical documentation, and the slides than actual code in my work. So I would like to share the experience with the product that I'm currently working at this Synthesized company, in particular how we document it. So what this product does, like roughly speaking, it transforms and generates data in relational databases. So at its core, it has a number of things that we call transformers or generators. There are like several dozens of them. So to give you some example, it can be just a random number generator with some distribution, statistical distribution. Or it can be a person generator, which will mock up somebody's gender, age, name, and so on and so forth. Or we can give it several categories, give it probabilities, and it will generate categories and stuff. So, and more. There are 35 of them, and the whole product on top. So what do we document? What is the surface, like user-facing surface of the product? First of all, things can be configured via YAML file, or they can be configured via user interface, the editor. And of course, as usually, this product evolves over time. It's several years old now, so new transformers are added, like features are changed, bugs are fixed. So we need to keep a number of things in sync, actually, in this product. So the things that must stay in sync, first, is JSON schema for the YAML configuration. Of course, we want to validate this YAML before even we start like feeding it to our product, and we want context-sensitive hints in editors, so we need this JSON schema, always up to date. Also, the projectional editor UI, which actually follows the same, I believe people who are in this room, you are big fans of everything is code, but not every users. Are big fans of coding, so people want these editors, and we must keep them in sync as well. So how do we do this? And finally, and that's the main focus of the talk, is documentation, which actually must follow the same structure. It must describe it, must be always up to date, and in particular, all the code snippets, these code snippets, they can be copied and pasted into customers' workflows, and they must work without saying, oh, this is like this argument is no longer valid or something like this. This transformation has been renamed. So in the very beginning of the development of this product, a decision has been made, and I think we are still getting benefits from this decision like many years after, is that we are using DSL approach as a single source of truth. So, although part of the product is written in Kotlin, part of it is written in TypeScript, the software developer starts from editing DSL file, YAML file, from which large chunks of artifacts are being generated. So I counted six in our particular case, like DTOs, this JSON schema, the projectional editor, which is actually auto-generated. We don't make our front-end engineers like to follow all the controls and switches. And the documentation is one of these six outputs. So what did we choose as a DSL, as the domain-specific language for this? Surprisingly, in our case, it's OpenAPI spec. Well, as you can see, it defines all the type names. It defines the structure, like in properties, what parameters do we have. It defines descriptions, nullability, all the stuff, like lots of stuff, actually. So if you ask why OpenAPI spec, why such a strange probably choice, well, because it's just because it's just fit for the purpose. It has built-in documentation fields. It supports extensions. It supports non-standard extension via X fields. So if there is something which is not in a standard OpenAPI, you just put a property anywhere which starts with X dash. And you can put just any additional semantic value you want. And what's important, we have a very high quality, widely used OpenAPI parser for the JVM, for Java. And well, I believe in our days the success of the product is mostly from using open source, which fits best your purpose, and writing like some glue code. And if you are choosing your libraries carefully, the amount of glue code is going to be minimal. So in our case, we already had code generators for Kotlin and for TypeScript to produce our DTOs. And the remaining step was to generate the documentation. So we decided to generate ASCII Doctor from the same source, from the OpenAPI spec, and then rely on the ASCII Doctor toolchain for everything that follows. So actually, this yellow, tiny yellow part needed to be implemented. And then, by the way, in 2026, you just ask your agent to write glue code, and it can be done really quickly. So the full pipeline is like this. So as I said, there is a number of branches, a number of artifacts that we are producing. But we have only a small amount of glue code, like from Swagger parser, like using a thing called Kotlin Poet. Kotlin Poet is just also a very reliable library, which is a builder of Kotlin code. So we just use this glue code and produce Kotlin DTOs, JSON schemas that we need, and the documentation. One thing, like when we think of auto-generated documentation, we think of something like Python doc strings or Java doc, and you know that they produce HTML right away from the code. But interestingly, if you want to do something yourself, what I recommend is to use some semantic markup, because it's much easier to produce than HTML, and also it will merge finely, it will blend finely with the rest of your documentation, because if the rest of your documentation is written in the same markup, you will get automated documentation and like written by humans, documentation written by humans in the same style, with the same visual style, so which is important. So, speaking about DSL, DSL is a single source of truth. First of all, it's a design decision, it's a project design decision. It's not a decision that is taken by technical writers or some other people. Like it must be taken at the very beginning. And it helps keep multiple parts of the product in sync, including but not limited to the documentation. It's a very powerful approach. The choice of DSL, however, is context dependent. So in our case, it's OpenAPI spec. In your case, it can be anything which fits the purpose. You have lots of options, like a fully custom DSL, if you feel like writing your own custom parser of something. An existing spec language, such as XSD, OpenAPI, like whatever spec language you feel fit. It can be YAML XML-based format, or it can be an internal DSL in a host language such as Groovy or Ruby or Kotlin, which produce this, you know, syntax abilities to expose an internal DSL. The best results usually come from choosing a technology with strong out-of-the-box tooling, so you only need a like, small amount of custom glue code. Okay, so let's get to ASCII Doctor part of the presentation. And there's a question like, why not ASCII Doctor? Why not something else? Well, here I'm a bit opinionated. if for DSL I said, like, choose whatever you like, for ASCII Doctor, I'm opinionated. I'm from ASCII Doctor camp. I believe that it just outperforms all the other markup languages. It has richer semantics. It has really powerful tables out of the box. It has attributes and conditional content, which makes documentation dynamic. And it has countless diagram as code integrations. And also, it's truly cross-platform. Because if you are like, your project is in Ruby, in JavaScript, or in JVM, you are using your build tools, and you natively get ASCII Doctor tooling there. That's quite a rare, example of truly cross-platform tooling. And my favorite feature include, about which I'm going to speak separately, complex tables. This presentation is in ASCII Doctor, by the way. So there's a GitHub repo for it. You can have a look. So good luck if you want to do these things in Markdown and escape like chopping onions. code snippets with syntax highlighting. That's a basic thing. Like, yes, yeah, same with many languages. Let's have a look at ASCII Doctor example. This callouts, by the way, is supported by ASCII Doctor. It's first class support, like no extensions, quite a unique thing. You can do it in various languages. So as you probably guessed, here you see an ancient, like 2,500 years old algorithm for finding greatest common divisor presented in various languages, Lua, Prolog, Ruby, Java. And you may ask, like, what you make, believe that these are actually valid code snippets, that they're actually producing GCD. Well, I can assure you that all the snippets are tested before the whole presentation being built with using property like strong property-based tests, and besides integer overflows, they are correct. How do I achieve this? I'm gonna tell you in a minute. But before that, I just can't help, showcasing the integrations that ASCII Doctor have, which actually allows you to keep colorful, powerful and colorful pictures, illustrations within your documentation in plain text. Alpha and Omega is GraphViz, quite low level, but you can do very flexible. You can do anything in it. If you want some formal stuff such as UML, you have plant UML for this. If you are teaching, like me, languages, you need this syntax diagrams, and I'm really proud to show this slide because this tool in particular was implemented by my third year Java students. And due to like amazing community in ASCII Doctor, they like included it as a first class support in ASCII Doctor. So if you want to describe some syntax, you have JSyntax for that, and it's supported by ASCII Doctor. Gnuplot, who knows about Gnuplot? Probably Lot, yeah, it's in universe in itself, right? So you stack charts like bar charts, you need them in your documentation, not technical documents. You don't need to copy and paste, pictures. It can be coded. And of course, it's not like that frequent that you need a formula in your technical documentation. But if you do need them, of course, there is only one format for the formula, like if you're taking formulas seriously. That's LaTeX, and ASCII Doctor is capable for this out of the box. So it's extremely powerful. But my favorite feature is still include. Other tool chains, they're missing it. So what it does, a simple thing, right? So somewhere in my code base, I have this Java file, and I just include it, and it's just being included here on the slide. But Java is verbose, and actually you don't see anything useful on this slide because of the header, like all this stuff. But as you can see, if I put special comment lines here, I am tagging a snippet, and then later I can refer to this snippet. So actually what I see here is not like a meaningless Java snippet copied and pasted from somewhere. It's like a tiny window where, from which you see just a snippet of the whole big Java file. And then I put this on the slide for my students and I say that this is the solution of a classical problem of word counting. Right? You have a text file and you count words and you get have a map from string to long, blah, blah, blah. And the question is, how do we make sure that this claim is accurate? We need a test for this. Okay, for Java String API, probably it's straightforward, but if it's some other tool that we are documenting, we need a test. So what do we do? Remember that this is actually not a snippet. This is actually a window for the big file. So this file can be unit tested. So I'm writing a unit test for this. Oh, sorry, Java is too verbose. Let me focus on the interesting part. And yeah, this is a unit test which actually calls the method in question and verifies that it's compiled, that it's run, and here we are. If you keep documentation and tested example code in the same repository, if you use include with tags to pull in only relevant chunks or only relevant fragments, you build docs and run the example code tests in the same CI pipeline, and this includes using same build tool. This is why it's important, like for that we have AsciiDoctor, right? We can run AsciiDoctor in NPM, we can run AsciiDoctor in Ruby build tool, we can run AsciiDoctor in Gradle or Maven. And it's either green or red. If some of the tests are red, then the test breaks, they are file, CI fails, you have no documentation. Final part is Antora, like of the name of the talk is Antora. Like, why Antora? Okay, why DSL, like, in DSL, choose whatever you like. This is what my point. For semantic markup, AsciiDoctor is the best. That's my opinion. And why Antora? Well, frankly speaking, you don't have any other choice if you're using AsciiDoctor. That's you know the truth. What's good about Antora? It has version doc as a first class concept. So if you are doing release cycle for your library or your product, you can do tags in your Git repository or branches, and Antora will refer and it will publish them. Next, it has an opinionated layout for models, assets, examples, and stuff. So if you put some example here, like you know where to put image, where you to put your SQL file, where to put your YAML file example, whatever. Antora has standard folders for this, and it has like specific format for cross references. So like it has like this notion of modules, examples, assets, and stuff, which helps a bit when you want to move stuff around your documentation. So when you're not relying on particular, you know, place on the file system, but your cross-reference is put in terms of modules, then you can turn, move your AsciiDoc files from a module to a module, and your cross-reference will be working if you are careful enough. So that's a really powerful feature for maintaining of large documentation. And last but not the least, it's surprisingly fast. Like those of you who know how long like can be like builds, you know, cycles with Gradle or NPM, they can take ages. Antora builds huge sites in a matter of seconds, and this is like really, really impressive, like in these days. However, and yeah, we, during previous presentations today, we had a lot of cases for, not documents as code solutions, like Wiki, or things like, what was it called? Lasyut, right? So, this presentation brings like another kind of end of the spectrum, like everything is code, everything is coded, everything is tested, everything is on CI. Well, actually, from like my current experience, I think, and this is still not solved problem, we must support something in between. Because when you've got like large Antora presentation, large Antora documentation, everything on CI, it becomes really difficult for people like solution architects or marketing people to edit it, to move contents around, to add some descriptive chunks. Also, it becomes too burdensome to sync it with release cycles. Like I want to update it now, or no, we need to wait for the next release. So probably if your documentation is mostly descriptive, is decoupled from release cycle, probably you should think about something else like Wiki or other tools that we discussed earlier. But if you want to keep it tightly in sync with the code and with the features of your product, then this approach is definitely the best. So, to conclusions. Keep documentation close to the source of truth. Ideally, if you're using the same mono repository on Git with everything, like with documentation and with code and tests. Generate documents as plain ad hoc and let ASCII Doctor toolset to do the rest. It's really easy to code generate ad hoc. Use the include magic in order to include testable examples and make all the examples of your code, be it SQL, YAML, Java, testable and tested. And the part of writing the documents and the part of engineering the whole solution is actually the same process. So when they're blend, you get the best results. So thank you for listening. You can see the source code of this presentation here with all the examples, and all the code examples in this presentation are thoroughly tested. Thank you. Yes, please.
Can ASCII Doctor output not HTML but something else, maybe Wiki?
First of all, 1 hour ago there was a presentation which demonstrated that actually ASCII Doctor provides you with the ability to write your own templates for output templates. So yes, it can produce HTML, it can produce PDF. There are templates for open document formats, and I didn't heard about wiki pages, but I think it shouldn't be that difficult to write your own template, because it's namely from one semantic markup to another semantic markup. Yes, please.
Are you familiar with the concept of literated programming?
Heard something, definitely, but I'm not familiar. I heard the the question was, am I familiar with literate programming? I heard the name, but I don't know what it is.
And then more specifically, maybe have you ever seen org mode syntax, or have you checked that out?
Org mode syntax?
Okay,
No. Let's discuss here after.
Any other question over there?
Questions? Yes, please. You mean you have Terraform and you want it to be beautifully documented? 100%. It does work. This is the idea. If you have something, but you need to find a parser for Terraform documents. But Terraform has additional attributes, and I see no problems in implementing this. Yeah. Infrastructure is code. Not like what? If the question is if the DSL is not open API spec, but some infrastructure is code DSL, such as Ansible, Terraform, and stuff. Yes, from what I know about these DSLs, I would be capable of writing something which will produce semantic markup for documenting this stuff. That's definitely possible.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you.